Just want to begin and just pray a truth that we discover in 1 Corinthians 2. I just want to pray for us. And at this time, children, go ahead with Rhonda Jean, the beautiful queen. Amen. It is exciting to see what the Lord's doing in our lives, isn't it? Let me just pray for us. Lord, we just thank you for all the prayers that you've touched people to pray, even for this day, for this service. Lord, I ask that you will continue to open our eyes to see and our ears to hear the things that you have planned out for us to walk in, that they'll enter our heart. I acknowledge that you've given your Holy Spirit to us that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. These things we speak. We acknowledge your presence.
Yes.
Jesus, we acknowledge you sitting at the right hand of the Father, the power. And Holy Spirit, we acknowledge your presence within every believer and around us, here to bring the goodness of God to us and through us. Thank you for the anointing of your Spirit. Your kingdom come, your will be done here. In Jesus' name, amen. That was in 1 Corinthians 2, just that prayer. It's really important that we don't pray and just say words. It's important that we pray with intention. We're intentional with our prayers. God's word provides and helps us to be intentional with our prayers. So when you would read in 1 Corinthians 2, that you would see that what's made available to us is that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit all working together through the price that was already paid for us on Christ on the cross, his resurrection, is that what's available to us is that our eyes would see and our ears will hear, and that the things that God has, the spiritual things, the plans for us, they actually enter our heart and gives us direction. The Lord does instruct us and he does teach us. I'm not up on technology, but I know enough to do what I need to do. But that's not my business. I'm not up on sports. It's not my business. But one thing I do not want to be down on, and what I do want to be up on, is what the Spirit is saying to the church these days. I'd rather have that than be up on world news. I want to know what the Spirit is saying. I want to stay in step with God, not just for myself, but for my marriage, my family, and the role that God has me for here. So we're going to hear some things, what the Spirit is saying to Hosanna. I'd like to just, I'm going to read a song that's been released called Spirit Move. It says, I feel it in my bones, you're about to move. I feel it in the wind, you're about to ride in. You said that you would pour your Spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So let the rain come, drench us in love. Let your glory rush in like a flood. We're fixed on this one thing, to know your goodness and see your glory. We're transformed by this one thing, to know your goodness and see your beauty. See, now get these songs, like to know your beauty, like a passage from Psalm 50, where it says, out of perfection, out of Zion, our God will shine. The perfection of beauty, our God will shine forth. The true beauty is seen in God. It's not what the world says is beautiful. It's not looking at a woman and saying, that's beautiful. True beauty is God. Holiness is beauty. Mercy is beauty. The character of Christ is beauty. And see, our hope of being conformed into the beauty of God is God shining forth. It's another way of us being transformed from glory to glory as we behold Him. All this is made available to us. It's amazing. Part of our inheritance is signs and wonders, is being able to see into the spiritual realm. We have the Holy Spirit in us, so we can know the things that have been freely given to us. You don't work for it. You don't sweat for it. You can't buy it. But you do hunger for it. You do believe your way to it. And all of a sudden, something's opened up to you, and you begin to see things you haven't seen before. It's a great thing with God to walk with Him. Louise's testimony talks about God's desire, obviously portrayed in sending Christ, that He's a God very personal. He's a personal God. He desires fellowship, but He brings us into partnership with Him. It's amazing that this new covenant that He said, Jesus, and of course it was really a mystery to them the first time they heard it. They said, I'm going to reveal myself to you and not to the world when I come back. That's when He goes up to heaven. And they're like, how are you going to manifest yourself to us, Jesus, and no one else is going to see? And then He said, hey, whoever loves me, they're the ones who have my commands, my words. And they love me because they keep them. They're after me. It's these people that I'm going to manifest myself to them. And I'm going to do it like this. I'm going to come, my Father and I, we will come and we're going to make our home in them. Now, how often are we thinking along those lines? I'm a home of God. And He has every corridor of my heart, every room. He takes occupancy up. He has it. How often are we thinking the Holy Spirit is living in me so I can be moved from heaven, so I can know the things of God? So when I'm reading, He will give me the understanding of what I need to understand. So I can find out my role in the body of Christ to be an extended branch abiding in the true vine. And so He wants us, that's being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that this is a mindset that, wow, God has come to live in me. So the old saying, and it's true, in Him we live and move and have our being. But when He comes to make His home in us, He says, in you I live and move and have my being. And so it's both ways. God, in you I live and move and have my being, and you live and move. And isn't that awesome? Think about the Creator of the universe, your Savior, the Spirit of your Father has come to make His home in you. So the more conscientious we are of that, the more we stay in fellowship and abide in Him, the more we're going to have the offspring of that, the fruit of Him living in us and you. It just becomes more common, and yet it's still supernatural. I am still fascinated when I hear the voice of God. And sometimes it's just a light prompt to call somebody or text a message. Lord, what do you want to say? And you just have this impression, and you can text a message, you can call someone. It goes from something as simple as that to laying hands on someone to heal them of disease. Amen. It's the new covenant. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's amazing. And so you see this video, and you can really see our need for the outpouring of God's Spirit upon our lives. How many times have you seen someone in straits and needing deliverance, and you tried to, you did this, but nothing happened? And it just shows our need. I need more of God. I need really the gifts of the Spirit of God to operate so He can give me the discernment I need. And God allows that. He allows us to come up short so we can see how much we really need Him. We've got to see how bankrupt we really are of the Spirit of the living God at times in order to hunger and thirst for Him to come and fill us on an ongoing basis. So I just want to share with you, got two parts to this. We'll see how far we go. The first is preparing for the next outpouring of God's Spirit. You know, the Lord has spoken to us a while back and said, launch out into the deep. If you want to see my glory, then walk away from being shallow and get deeper in me. Walk away from what is worthless and is a waste of time and get really serious about me, my presence, my glory, about doing my will, what pleases me and what thrills me. I, in turn, will truly amaze you. I will thrill your spirits with my presence and your eyes with my glory, and you shall become vibrant witnesses of me wherever you go. For you will be overwhelmed and filled to overflowing with my presence, glory, and power. Back to back, he came the following Sunday and said, prepare for my glory. It's time to do some house cleaning because I am about to come and visit with my glory. Little difference between his glory and his presence. People can come in and enjoy the presence of God, but when his glory is manifested, if there's any sin in their life, they're going to either squirm out or they're going to come to the altar and say, God, set me free. Because things are exposed left and right when his glory comes. There's a weightiness to it. There's a thing that is, yeah, God's presence here doesn't just feel good, but when his glory is manifesting, light is shining really bright. There's a weight to it. Conviction comes powerfully. So he says, prepare for my glory. I'm coming to manifest myself to you in miraculous ways. The people don't need to see me. They need to see Jesus in me. I can't set anybody free. I don't have the power to preach the gospel in such a way that people are moved with conviction. But he who lives in me has all of that. And so it's tapping into what he has made available to us. They need Jesus. And when we tap into this area of intercession, and you'll find the Holy Spirit starting to rise up, and you saying, it's you that they need. God, we've got to have you in our midst. More than just a trickle of your presence, God. Come and visit in your glory. So when they walk in the door, they will know God is here. And their sin will be exposed. And the love of God will come. And they'll be drawn to the altar. All resistance is out of the way. The walls are down. And they come to the altar. And they beat upon their chest. And they say, God, save me. And they walk out of here saying, God has saved me. Not about a pastor, not about a worship team, not about just his presence, but they've come in contact with a living God who has saved them and transformed them. And there's a people who understand that, and they're ready to go after this one who just ran to the arms of their Savior. And they're ready to minister. They're ready to build them up so that they're on a drama team, on a worship team. And now their ministers, not perfect, but God's using them. And right away, they come in contact with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. They understand what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Not 5 years later, not three. But the day after, or the month after, right away. Come on. I didn't have my stuff together when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I still had stuff. But it brought me into a contact in another dimension of Jesus that revolutionized my life. Took me into the things of God. And as a 15-year-old teenager, I longed to sit at that desk, even with my baggage, and meet with Jesus who made himself real to me through a Bible. It hasn't stopped. I'm 56 today, and still that meeting is taking place. That's God. He met me every day, 15 and 16 and 17, turning rides down at college because I wanted to walk with him with a little New Testament Bible. That's an encounter with God. That's something the Holy Spirit produces in people. And it ain't religion, is it? It is a shame that people across this nation go to church Sunday after Sunday and still don't know God. And have yet to meet him in his house. One of the primary objectives of a worship team or a minister here is to present Jesus Christ. It is to give people time to encounter God. It is to give God time to encounter his people. Music is a vehicle to take us right into the encounterment of God. It is to bring him down to us. It is to bring us up to him. This word right now ought to be stirring us into what God has made available to us. And there's all different kinds of purposes for the word. It instructs, it encourages, it comforts. But it also gives light and helps us to see what God is after. There are pockets on the earth that God is looking to send his spirit to. And like the last song, it's like David prayed, it's taken from a psalm. I am like a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. And he was hungering for God to pour his spirit out. Amen. We've got something to be turned on about. The Lord says, I'm going to use this place as a place to heal, transform, and to deliver. People will know the truth in power, and it will set them free. They, in turn, will bring others because they have found a place of hope, a God of hope, a God who really heals and delivers and sets free. Be ready, for I'm about to come and walk among you. See, this is the word. 2 Corinthians 6, it goes on to say, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Verse 16 to the end of the chapter. What fellowship does light have with darkness? There's nothing in common with an idol in the house of God. We would be appalled. Some of you would just really be upset if we put a statue of Buddha up here on the platform. You'd be outraged. And yet some of the ones outraged are walking out with an idol in their heart. And so God addresses that idolatry. He said to Ezekiel, look, they're going to come and they're going to seek the word of the Lord from you. But I'm going to answer them according to the idols in their heart, that I might seize them by their heart. If he doesn't have our heart, what does he have? God is looking for a people to make his home in a sense where he can live and move and have his being. A people who are really sold out to God, to be a pocket where he can come and visit, where he's in the house all the time doing his wonderful things. I am contending for the actions of God. The actions of God will become more common in our midst. But for that to take place, our faith has got to rise. Our thought processes need to change. The things that hinder, that limit God, that hinder his power from coming to us, have to be removed. So preparing for the next outpouring of God's Spirit, one objective, this is the word of the Lord. It's been happening, it is happening. One objective God has for us in order to prepare us for what is coming by his Spirit, which we need to see, accept, and embrace is this, to be renewed in our minds, in our thoughts. He does this by his word. He does this by putting another book in your hand. He does this by even what's been going on with Azusa Street and that historical place and what's happening to bring us back to what happened there. The hunger and what happened as a result of the outpouring of the Spirit of God there, as you see on Pentecost and other places. So he does that through visions and dreams, and though we'll never have the full scope of his plan, nobody's going to have a complete handle on it, what he's going to do or how he's going to do it, it will prepare us to be willing and obedient to what and how he's going to do it. We cooperate with him by saying, God, give me the new thoughts I need to have concerning the new work you're bringing us into. Luke chapter 5, Jesus told a parable. Verse 36, then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also, the piece that was taken out of the new doesn't match the old. Can I tell you the new thing God wants to do? And if we don't think it's going to be new, then we're missing out right there. Prophetically, God's doing a new thing. He has to. We need the Spirit of God and the heartbeat of God to reach this generation. Church, look around you. Why are the pews empty? Why is it filled? And it is increasing. God is whistling, and God's bringing here. But I have to consider these things. Why is the house of God not full? And don't be pointing the fingers at anybody around you. It's just a good question. Is the goodness of God here? Yes. Some of us think, man, just people need to be here. This is so good. And some of us think, man, so-and-so needed to be here and see this drama. It really would have touched your heart. I'm not in any of that stuff. But God wants to use me to get people out of that stuff. This is God's house. And I have to ask myself. I have to say, what's going to make a difference? God, what is going to make a difference? There was a guest that came, lives in another state. We went out to lunch, and the first thing, why isn't that church full? And it wasn't derogatory, it wasn't negative. It was like, it's so good. Why aren't there more people there? So I'm praying with intention. Amen. There's more people here, isn't there? In the last year, it's growing. Everybody say it's growing.
It's growing.
But God's heart is for his house to be what? Full. Do you think he wants to use you and I?
Amen.
Do you think prayer will make a difference?
Yes.
Yes, it will. Do you think evangelism will make a difference?
Yes.
Who do we need to be full of to pray effectively and to evangelize effectively? The Holy Spirit. To be endued with power from on high. And who helps us to pray effectively? Always, always the perfect will of God. Who brings us in sync with the intercession of Jesus? The Holy Spirit. It takes time. It's not saying a prayer over breakfast. It's not always praying on the go. It's meaning business with God. It's coming in contact with God. It's coming in contact with the thing of his heart. It's saying, God, I ask you for the Spirit to make intercession for me. Because you promised, I don't know how to pray as I ought, and I'm weak in that, so I ask you to make me strong and to know how to pray. Use me. You know, just as someone gives a gift of prophecy, the Holy Spirit is using them, their spirit and their vocal cords. So when he wants to pray through you, he will use your spirit and he'll use your voice. Church, I challenge you and I exhort you, get into that prayer closet. Get into that place. And if we will yearn more for God in dependency, we will have more of him in our reality every day. You will see things more in the spirit. You'll be moved. I was telling my wife this morning, how many times is a man, when the wife starts cooking, sit behind a TV when all they can do is just say, God, what do you want to show me right here while I'm waiting? It's amazing. It's an attitude of prayer. It's an attitude that you have a direct line. Please don't take me wrong and don't think I'm way up there, because I'm not. I'm preaching to myself, but this is here in the Word. He's like, get a different mindset, home of God. I live in you, and I want to have my being in you, and I want to do things through you. I want to show you things from heaven. Told Kristen the other day, you're God's VIP with a VIP. What is it? I am God's very important person with a very important purpose. Y'all say, I'm God's very important person.
I'm God's very important person.
With a very important purpose.
With a very important purpose.
Let's pluralize that, but it's still singular. Say, we're God's very important people.
We're God's very important.
With a very important purpose.
One.
Are y'all being stirred up?
Yes.
Amen. That's good. That's something the Word will do in the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 5, verse 37. Check this out. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Back in that day, you just knew it was like a leather skin, and they didn't do that. Or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. Sometimes a move of God came upon a people, and it didn't last that long, and if there was more preparation to it, and this is what I see God's doing here. He's preparing us for the next move of God. So everything will be preserved. We'll understand what's happening. Let me tell you something. You get these people over here smoking pot, and then the partner sees that one, and they're starting to act a little different, any drug. They don't think that's strange. They're like, the drug's working. It's starting to have influence. And see, what's going to happen is, when we're being filled with the Spirit of God, we're not going to think it's strange. The Spirit of God's manifesting. Something's happening. Oh, something's about to happen, and we got to be really in tune with the Spirit in us so you know. You know when the waters, if I can say, of living life are being stirred in you. Oh, what are you going to do? So, you know, we did this the other day in CLF, and I just took someone by the... Can I have a volunteer? Who was that? Can I use you again? Come here, Alyssa. Everybody say, hey, Alyssa. So we just role played, and I played the Holy Spirit. No comparison, I know. Okay, and so we were just walking, we were teaching the three big questions. The three big questions in John 14. There were three questions, you know. Hey, how can we know the way to heaven? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he takes care of that. No one's going to the Father except through me. Well, then show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. He said, look. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He took care of that. The way I am, how I am, that's how the Father is. That's how he is. To know me is to know him. I'm not the Father, but I'm just like him. And then he said, Jesus, how are you going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? He said, I'm going to come make my home in you. And I'm going to lead you, and I'm going to speak to you. And so we just role played. I played the Holy Spirit. Now you can't see me. So the way I was going to prompt her or move her, I was just going to squeeze her hand. So I just took her hand. Now she doesn't see me. So we're just going to walk and you know, so just say this prayer, Alyssa. Just say, God, use me today.
God, use me today.
I ask you to touch someone's life.
I ask you to touch someone's life.
I recognize that you're in me.
I recognize that you're in me.
To encourage people.
To encourage people.
So I'm ready. I put my confidence in your Spirit.
Put my confidence in your Spirit.
In me.
In me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And she's going about her day. So she'll know a prompting. So I'm gonna pay the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna say, look, when I squeeze your hand, you just stop and you just, oh, what do you want to say? And to who? All right? So we're gonna come over here. You notice we stopped together? I squeezed your hand. I already know what I'm doing and know what I'm going to say. The Holy Spirit always anticipates. He knows ahead of time, and he moves you. All right, so what's the question you're going to ask?
What do you want to do?
She said, what do you want to do? Tell Brian he's doing a real good job on the drums, and I'm glad he returned to my house.
You're doing a really good job on the drums.
Glad he's in my house.
Glad you're in his house.
Now, what we did, we practiced. Wait, we practiced. So in other words, you're gonna approach him and say, "Hey, Brian," and you're gonna start a conversation. And can I share something with you? Can you do that? You're doing real good for being in front of these people. Can y'all give her a big hand?
Yeah.
Thanks for bowling. So we're gonna do it again, and you'll just start a conversation. Just practice. So we're moving, and I'm like. You just say, what do you want to say?
What do you want to say?
Tell Brian I'm glad he's playing the drums and that he's in my house. So we're just nonchalant. She's got the word, right? So you just coming over here and she's talking in the conversation.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going?
I'm pretty good.
Can I share something with you?
Yes, you can.
I feel like God is saying that he's really glad that you're playing the drums in church. He's glad you're in his house.
Thank you.
Come on. See, that's good, isn't it? Thank you. See, you know what? We're in this generation, I mean, right away, they're getting equipped.
Yep.
When you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and he wants to use you. He'll empower you. He'll lead you. And that's how he does. That's just one area. How many of y'all are encouraged by that?
Amen.
You know, that's going to stick with you, isn't it?
Yep.
And you just simply, as a believer, Lord, here I am. I ask you to use me as your vessel today. I recognize you're in me to lead me, to empower me. Lord, you know I'm going to need boldness if you lead me to say something. And you spend time. And also, you do your homework. You're in the Word. You spend time with him. You want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in you. Thank you, Alyssa. So look, we were at verse 37 in John 5. Now we go to verse 38. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. 39, and no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. And that's the thought we got to get out of our mind. Church, you know, God's called all of us to be storytellers, not just story listeners. In other words, he's called all of us to give testimony of what he's doing. He didn't call us just to be testimony listeners. And Psalm 145, don't have the time to look at it, bears this out. One generation will declare your works to the next. They will declare your mighty acts. We should all have testimonies, either from God answering prayers or how God, it's just telling stories. I told my kids that a long time ago. Look, you're going to have to step out if you're going to be a storyteller. Let me tell you what. It's fun to listen to stories, but it is funner to tell stories. Isn't that right?
Yes.
See, you got to step out in obedience. And it's not just for the sake of telling stories. It's speaking of the glory of God. It's like God does this, and it stirs people up, doesn't it?
Yes.
Story. Everybody say, I'm a storyteller.
So
look, I want you to go to Acts chapter 10. It's preparing for the next move of God's Spirit. Real important story here. Just an example of an old wineskin being changed to a new wineskin. Are we getting that? Let's stay on course here. It's an example of someone getting a new wineskin in exchange for the old wineskin. In that case, we can just say it this way, because there's two thoughts to it. When a person's saved, they get a new wineskin, and God can put his Spirit in there. The old's out, the new comes in, and it's preserved. They're cleansed with the blood of Jesus. But it also has everything to do with mindsets. An old wineskin or mindsets, it's just like the parable we just read. They'll say, the old is better. When God... Listen, if God's saying, look, I've got new, you do not want to be saying the old's better, God, when he's saying the new is better and you need it. It's going to make all the difference. I'm looking for a people. I'm looking for a pocket. I'm looking for a church to pour my new wine in to reach this generation. Your generation, my generation. So if we go to Acts chapter 10, familiar story about how God encountered through an angel Cornelius. And so an angel visited him. I love this. In verse 2, Cornelius, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Man, wouldn't you like to have that testimony? Devout, God-fearing, generous person, prayed to God always. So the angel comes, and he says to him, Cornelius, verse 4, and when he observed him, he was afraid. What is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. You know, I read that, and I'm just thinking, you know, what has been going up to God from us? And here's a man, I mean, it just got God's attention. It just tipped the bowls. This is a constant thing with this guy. His prayers keep coming up to me. He's generous. He's devout. He fears me. He's reverent. His conduct is holy. I'm going to visit that man. I've got something really in store for him. And so the angel tells him to send to Joppa and get Peter. Look at verse 6. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. See, it's important for us believers to be in touch with God, because God wants to send people to us, and God's going to tell them what they need to do through us. It's the first humbling thing, how God had to get in touch with Saul and get him off that arrogant spirit. He's got a front row seat with Jesus, and he says, "What do you want me to do, Lord?" And Jesus doesn't even tell him directly. He said, he's going to humble this guy. He's going to teach him his first lesson of humility. He said, "I want you to go here, and you'll be told what to do." And he did tell him what to do through another disciple. And so here, same thing with Cornelius is already humble, and that's not the point there. But he's going to send him, and Peter's going to tell him what to do. So the next day, God encounters Peter. Verse 10. I'm going to start with verse 9. The next day as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now think about it. While dinner was being prepared, there it is, you know, Peter, he went up to pray. It's like in that moment, he was just, you know, I'm going to make the best moment of this little time. I'm just going to open my heart up to God. So he goes up there to pray. And he fell into a trance, verse 11, and saw heaven open, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him, let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. Verse 13, and a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And that was done three times. And this object was taken up into heaven again. So while Peter wondered within himself what the vision meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made their inquiry of Simon's house, stood before the gate, and they asked for Simon. Verse 19, while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." Isn't that awesome? He's hearing from heaven above by the Spirit within him. All the static was out of his life. He just had that moment. He's seeking God. He's an open channel. You notice he wasn't evangelizing this time. He wasn't evangelizing. He wasn't busy. In this moment, he was at Simon the Tanner's house. He had maybe just meditating, but he's not wasting time. Sometimes when you think you're seeking God, you don't hear anything. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just wasting time. God didn't say seek him in vain. It is never in vain to spend time with God. Every time you sow to God, you're sowing seeds. You will eventually reap. And so God, the Holy Spirit said to him, these three guys are there, verse 20. This is important. Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I've sent them. Go with them, doubting nothing. In other words, Peter, you're about to go where you've never gone. You're about to do what you've never done. I'm going to use you in a place you've never been used before. You see, what he was doing, he had to get this old wineskin mentality. I never go in a Gentile's house. I never eat that kind of food. And the whole thing, God gave him a picture, and while he pondered on it, God is fixing, he's beginning to reveal the truth of it. He said, Peter, you know, you've been thinking this way about Gentiles. I don't want you to think that way about them anymore. New wineskin. You see, if Peter didn't cooperate with the change God was bringing him to, he would not have got the new wine for that people. God would have used someone else, or it just wouldn't have happened. God is preparing us, church, for a new outpouring. Listen, you've experienced presence of God, and I have too in here, and I've experienced it in CLF with these young people, and they'll tell you, some of them like, I have never experienced that. But I'm telling them, look, there is more to come. My prayer is what happened with me in a living room is going to come out. What happened to me in a prayer room is going to come out. What happened to me in a worship thing is going to come out. And it's not preaching my experience, because he doesn't do the same thing the same way twice. What it is, it's like God wants to reveal himself. There's more to this kingdom. I don't say stuff. I don't like saying stuff with such holy things. There's more to these kingdom things. Pursuing God. It's not just for the experience. Right. But in every supernatural encounter, I was changed. I was marked by God. I've had these encounters as you've had just reading the word. I love it, the light just shining on that word. At 15 years old, consistently, by the grace of God, 16, my tears coming out of my eyes, Jesus manifesting himself to me through black and white pages. Amen. The word of God. Revealing, doing a work. It's just like preparing, doing this thing. So watch, I want to just do a simple illustration with you all. Just to bear how we got to watch out for this. So CLFers know this, but watch. I'm just going to do a little melody, and I want you all to finish it. You ready? I'll make a little noise, and you all just finish it. How about if I'm going to do it like this. You ready? Da-da-da-da-da. You see, you did it. Old wineskins. Now do it again. Da-da-da-da-da. And y'all do it on the door sometimes. You go knock. It just happens, right? Because it's what we've heard. Everybody does it. But I'm going to introduce you to a new wineskin. All right? So we're going to, y'all go dun 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 dun, and I'm going to do the new one. Ready? Go. Dun 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 dun. You got it? See, it's hard at first. Somebody like, what was that? And that's how it is when God introduces new things to us. You're like, we don't get it the first time. What was that? What was that illustration with Alyssa right here? But you know, that's going to mark her right there because that's going to impact that girl. She's already walking in that, but it's going to be more. She's going to like, wait a minute. God, he want to speak to somebody through me. And she's going to sense that. It won't be someone squeezing her hand, but she'll have Holy Spirit's like, something's going on in there. And she said, what do you want to do? Revelation. Interpretation, what do I do with this? Who's this for? Application. Do what he tells you to do. So ready? Y'all do the new one. Dun 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 dun. See, it's kind of sloppy, isn't it? But that's how we are, and God understands that. Sometimes when we first step out, it's kind of sloppy sometimes. But God's like, yeah, come on, we're going somewhere. Right? So you know, Peter was like, he gave him this thing, rise and eat. Not so. Why? Dun, 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 dun. Peter was dun, dun. He was stuck there. Dun, dun. No, we don't do it that way. Things are going to change here in Hosanna, prophetically. They just are. Pastor and this pastor, we're ready to go.
Amen.
How many of y'all are ready to go? It's really important. We're not the only temples of the Holy Spirit. You are. And the promise he gave us, he said in 2 Corinthians 6, he said, clean house, because I want to walk among you. My stove, I clean it every day. If I miss one, I do, but I clean it every day. You know why? Because it's just easy to keep clean. But it's amazing. Now I'm getting in those grooves, and it's really clean. And that's how God is. He does a surface cleanup. And you think you're doing good, then he gets, let me get under here a little bit.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't see that. Yeah. Well, let's work on this. You got a proud spirit. Let's work on that. You're grumbling. Let's get that out. But all along, he'll still use you. So you guys do the first part. Ready, go. Dun, dun. Ready, one, two, three. Dun, 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 dun. You got it? Everybody go. Dun, 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 dun. I know some of you might think you're in elementary school or something, but you know what? It's a point. Everybody's do the second part. Dun, 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 dun. Do it. Okay, I'm going to do the first part. Dun, 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 dun,
dun.
Come on, new wineskins. It's really important because watch. You guys, watch. You're going to go home. People will say something. Something's going to come out of your mouth. Old wineskin. Well, my mom always said that. It's the way we do it. And it's bad when it's of the old nature. And some things that come out of mouths are like this, you know. You keep crying, I'll give you something to cry about. Where's that in the Bible? That's old wineskin, and there's never any new wine flowing through the man. I'll give you something to cry about. Now, I know it's funny, but pay attention to what comes out of your mouth and see if it's an old wineskin. But if you expect the Holy Spirit to flow through you to your sons and your daughters and your grandchildren, giving life to them, even in the face of a rebellious attitude, you're going to have to get a new wineskin up here. You're going to have to hear God say, I am not in your wrangling. I am not in your sarcasm. I don't flow through the old wineskin. Come on, let the conviction rise because it's good. See, when we align ourselves with the paradigm of the new covenant, bless those who curse you, he can still ride in there. When you bless, God can move in that and do wonders, but he can't move in our cursing back. He cannot move when we're complaining. Five sins, and I wish I had another hour with you, but five sins in 1 Corinthians 10 kept the Israelites out of their promised land. Complaining, putting God to the test, lusting after evil things, idolatry. Today, that's sitting more behind the TV and not much at all with God. That's generations going after Xbox. Let me tell you, when you get in trouble, cry out to the Xbox to help you. Cry out to the TV. Cry out to the golf clubs. Help me, I need an open window in heaven. Cry out to the car. Cry out to whatever you and I have given ourselves over to over the years to save us, to deliver us. That's idolatry. And this nation is an idolatrous, lustful nation. So God has called us out, get us cleansed up, build his home in us for such a higher purpose. And let me tell you, that's living when God has his home in you. Amen? Dun, 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 dun. Okay, y'all do the first part. Dun, 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 dun. See, with practice, and see, what happens is, church, it doesn't come automatic. I'm going to tell you one more secret. Really helped me in parenting. Take the kids to school. Something didn't go right that morning. It doesn't matter if they didn't do something right. It didn't go right, my reaction. So they go, and I come back. I sit at the table, and I would rehearsal. And I would just imagine the whole thing all over again, and I would practice my response. Sounds strange, but you know it works. I mean, the world's caught more onto that before the church has. Church thinks it's weird. You know, when a golfer wants to get good, they get a video, they watch, they imitate, and they practice. They have someone train them. And so I had to practice my trouble areas. Where I kept blowing it, I'm like, God, what's it look like to do it right? Because I got an old wineskin, and I want the new wine to flow through. So it's very practical down to earth, at home, in the church, and in the world. So I didn't get to the second part, but I'm just going to tell you this. The message that was prepared, this came last night because it's prerequisite. I was going to share freeing up God's power to operate in and through you. And I was going to look at the things that hinder or limit God. Unbelief, unforgiveness, unwillingness, pride, disobedience, and fear. Well, God's not going to use me. And then we're going to look at power enhancers. So we'll wait for another open door and have the worship team come up. Everybody say Corvette.
Corvette.
I saw a Corvette the other day. I was sitting at a traffic light and he was turning left and I was going straight. So he went first. And man, revved up the engines. It was a nice car. I mean, it was loud. And it took off. And I watched it go only to slow down to 55 miles per hour. And I thought, man, what a shame. I like to drive fast. I mean, you know, in Missouri, there's one thing I enjoyed was driving on them country roads. And I just like, give me some freedom. How many of y'all like driving fast? You know, see that? We got a lot of people. How many of y'all got in trouble driving fast? But you know, I watched church, listen to this. That Corvette took off. It has all this power, and it's limited by man-made speed limit signs. And rightly so. And God just took me to Psalm 73 in the car, and it says how the people, through their sins, through their unwillingness and lack of remembering God, they limited the Holy One. Church, God has all this power.
Amen.
And we're limiting God through our power limit signs. I don't believe God. Limit. Small thinking. Limit. When God's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all, look, that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Every time you pray for someone, you're releasing power for God to work. Every time. These signs will follow those who believe. They will. Come on, let's take the limits off. In the prayer room, Robin, this is how it works. We're praying, and I have this nudge, just like this illustration, and I just waited. I said, Robin, the Lord's going to open your eyes to see something in the Spirit. Just go to the next person. We're just praying. Well, it happened sooner than I thought. She came out, and she said she saw, it was like a lid.
This roof, the Lord lifting the lid and pouring in. So I didn't know your sermon was about the outpouring.
Come say this. She didn't know that. What did you see?
He had said that, you know, you're going to see something in the Spirit. And that's different for me because I don't usually see. It's not visual how the Lord, he's more of a prompting, and I'll get just impressions more than I ever see things. It's just how the Lord shows me things. So he came up and said, the Lord's going to show you something in the Spirit. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready for that. That's something new for me. So I'm like, whatever you want to show me, Lord. And we were praying for the drama and different things. And as we were praying, what I saw was this church building as if the roof was like the lid on a cookie jar. And the roof was being removed and he was pouring in. And I was like, oh, whew. Like, and then it was almost like, you know, it's not like he's putting cookies in, but I could see like you would pour tea into a container or just an outpouring of his Spirit. So no, and like I told Pastor Raphael, I said, there's so many applications to that about the ceiling being lifted, you know, lifting limitations, you know, lifting those old thought processes that we have that unfortunately has the power to limit an almighty God, which is kind of mind-boggling in itself.
And if you were to stand up, thank you, Jesus. I knew when my kids came to me, if they kind of wanted what they were asking, I knew when they wanted what they were asking. And there were times they came to me and I knew they really wanted what they were asking. See, there's a desire and then there's fervent desire. And as we hunger for the things of God, just that prophetic word, God is showing what he wants to do. Church, let me tell you, it's not automatic. We just have to agree and say, yes, God, we want you to pour your Spirit out and transform us. Lord, bring your goodness here to such an extent that people, prophetically through Jeremiah 31, people will come streaming to the goodness of God because they heard God is in the house. I think your name's Carol. I don't want to embarrass you or anything, but Lord wants to minister to you. If you're able to come down here, if you have time, there's a word, and he wants to minister to you. And he just showed me something in the spirit. And not just now, but we'll wait to let people come up. And if you're willing, I want to do that. Amen. Father, we just thank you for today. The songs that were sung. When you walk into the room, God, thank you for preparing us. What an honor, Lord, for you to say, launch out into the deep and prepare for my glory. God, these plans that you have are just so awesome. I ask you, God, just thank you for opening our eyes to see a little more, our ears to hear a little more, and that the things that you have prepared for us are entering our heart. God, that signs and wonders are following. Lord, where people are filled with your spirit, where they're operating in faith and obedience. Lord, they're allowing you to clean their lives up so they can be a clear channel, getting the dust off the filter so the air of your spirit can flow through freely without being hindered. God, just continue to work in us this week to take the limits off unforgiveness, disobedience, doubting, being skeptical, God. Lead us to the word by your spirit. God, I want to thank you for clouds of your presence that's going to come over people's houses and visit them with such a hunger. They're going to find themselves stirred. I want to thank you. They're going to be getting away from the TV. They're going to be getting away from this or that. Anything that constitutes a waste of time. Worthless, God. That you're going to bring us into what is worthwhile. What's going to bring in more of your presence, God? What's going to transform us and cause us to be your living, walking temples of the Holy Spirit? God, we're reminded that you've come to make your home in us. Wow, that's amazing. The things that you desire to do in and for us and through us. Lord, we understand because your word says you are glorified when you fulfill your promises through Jesus in your people. So God, be glorified and pour your spirit out. Fulfill your promised words, God. Lord, I pray that we're not just people of the word, but we're people of the spirit in tune, being led, empowered, seeing and hearing and speaking the oracles of God. I want to thank you, God, that every saved person you qualified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Wash them. Place your spirit in them. So I want to just give this call out. You're like, God, I want to remove things in my belief, things in my attitude, my life, my walk. I don't want you limited. God, I need you. I need your power to live godly. I need your power to walk in newness of life, to walk in the Christian life, to follow your footsteps. I need the power of your spirit to minister to people. And really, the heart of this message, God is at work giving us a new mindset, preparing us for this next outpouring of God's Spirit. It's going to be more than what we've seen. But if that's you, you're saying, God, I want to be a vessel that your Holy Spirit can use. Come forward. Come on, church, just a moment. Come forward. It really is a cry that he's put in the heart. It cries out to the living God. Use us. Change us, God. Stir us up. Move in us, Lord. Prepare us, God. We want to be a pocket that you can zero in on among all the others, God. Don't pass us by. We what a vessel you can use to reach this generation, my generation, the older, the younger, God. Come and build your church, God. Do what needs to be done, God, in our lives to partner with you so your house can be full, full. Bring them into what you desire them to see and experience yourself, your goodness. People changed, 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 changed. Not religious, but changed. Humble, humble people. Devout people. Generous people. God-fearing people. God-loving people. And we can see beyond their stuff, God, and be a vessel your Spirit can use. Come on, expect God to move in your life. Expect Him to move. God, show me yourself. As you close your eyes, it's like you're looking for Him. But you know He's with you. He's in you. He manifests Himself. He is a faithful God. Acknowledge He's made His home in you. Repent of attitudes. Repent of limiting Him. I just take the limits off. I don't want to limit you with my small thinking. God, thank you for giving us new wineskins, new thoughts over this week and the next month. In Jesus' name, I just thank you. I turn this over to your Spirit, Father, to minister to each one. In Jesus' name, amen.